It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to the second hour of Declare Your Independence. There's Hancock for Friday, September 3rd, 2010. I am very, very excited to have my friend Cassandra Anderson on the show with me for the next couple of hours to talk about Agenda 21 and the UN's plans for us. And everything that we're going to talk about today has everything to do with what I started the show talking about, you know, with regard to the triumvirate, even the Canamex corridor and the Discovery Channel shooter and the World Bank report from 1984. Everything that the government and the United Nations especially is doing right now is aimed at trying to depopulate the world. And it's really ugly. I mean, it's really, I can't believe this because, again, I will say it again. I will keep saying it. Humanity is beautiful. It is, you are the most special, beautiful snowflake that God ever created because there is nobody like you that has or ever will exist on this earth ever again. You are a snowflake. Snowflakes, there is a lot of snowflakes when the snows fall, but no snowflake looks exactly like another snowflake. And this is the only time that a copy of you, that who you are, will be on this earth. And that is something that is to be cherished as the greatest gift that could be ever given to the world. And so when I talk about these very, very difficult and heavy subjects, I am coming from that point of view. I'm coming from the fact that humanity, with all of our faults, with all of our problems, and with all of our frailties, is the most beautiful thing that has ever been on this earth. And so I want to welcome Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com to the show. She's a friend. I've had her on the morning show a couple of times. She's a good friend of my buddy Drew, Drew Phillips, who's my partner in crime when I go out and, you know, film a lot of these things that I end up getting into. And so, how you doing, Cassandra? Welcome to this episode of Declare Your Independence, this version, the afternoon show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jed. I really appreciate it. You know, people need to find out about Agenda 21. Because it's the overall plan, so if you look at the big picture, then you get an idea of where things are going. So that's part one. And part two is that, as my friend Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates always says, you know, Agenda 21 is the monster, and all these things coming out of it are the evil tentacles. So if you take out the head of the monster, the tentacles wither and die.
Absolutely. And I actually am holding in front of me an article from Freedom Advocates, that was the ICLEI, which is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, Local Governments for Sustainability. The title of it is called ICLEI Primer, Your Town and Freedom Threatened. And this is going on in over 500 municipalities.
600.
Oh, really? Over 600 now.
Yeah.
Municipalities just within the United States. And this is a global initiative that is being carried out on the local level, correct?
That's correct. Because here's what happened is that the Agenda 21 treaty It was in 92 or 94.
Yeah, it was 92, the Rio Earth Summit.
Yeah.
In Rio, that was the United Nations Conference on Environmental and Development.
Right. It was rejected on the Senate floor due to a lot of hard work by Michael Kaufman, spearheaded that one, Dr. Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
And so they couldn't get it passed as a treaty, so they turned around. The actual treaty that was on the Senate floor was the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, and it was withdrawn from vote. And so because they couldn't pass it as a treaty, and it was very ambiguous, so that you know what happens when a law gets interpreted.
Right. We have to pass a law so we can find out what's in it, right?
Yeah. So anyhow, long story short, they're attacking local, you know, cities, counties, states, to get these draconian measures passed.
Yeah, I have
ICLEI is specifically for cities.
You know, I have another article in front of me from the Freedom Advocates called "What is Sustainable Development?" And the thing is, what we have to understand is Agenda 21 is the law that they're trying to bring about sustainable development. So we can really talk about Agenda 21 and sustainable development as sort of the same thing. And,
they're absolutely. The phrase sustainable development comes out of the UN.
Right.
So it is the same thing.
And so, you know, just in 1993, Nancy Pelosi, who we all know and not necessarily love, but she submitted a resolution, H.J. Res. 166, to the Congress, urging the President of Congress to assume a strong leadership role in implementing the decisions made at the Earth Summit by developing a national strategy to implement Agenda 21 and other Earth Summit agreements. So this is nothing new. It's just getting into higher gear, wouldn't you say?
That's correct. And, in fact, Agenda 21 is nothing new. As you know, the Rockefellers had their Council on Population many, many decades ago, you know, that started the eugenics program. And what Agenda 21 is, it's the updated organized version plan of action, and that came out in 1992. So it just, they gave it a name and turned it into a plan of action, and that's what that's all about.
Right. You know, I've just, since I talked to you on the morning show, I've really done a lot of research on this stuff. And I've really found out that Phoenix, where I live, is, again, at the hub of this Agenda 21 on the local level. And I was just in shock, I guess, at how far-reaching that even our mayor, Phil Gordon, is involved in Agenda 21.
Yeah, in fact, they, you know, it's Orwellian language. They call the mayors that have signed on, cities can sign on, but mayors can sign on separately to implement. It's mostly based around global warming, or that's a big part of it. The other one is endangered species and smart growth and wildlands. But anyway, the mayors can sign on individually, and they're called cool mayors, you know, and that's an Orwellian term, you know, because they're going to implement global warming reduction strategies.
Yeah, if you go to ICLEIUSA.org, you know, I have the profile of Mayor Phil Gordon, and he has a website, www.phoenix.gov/sustainability, and it tells you right in plain English all of the things that he has done. And what I want to really talk about is like you said, the Orwellian doublespeak, and how that they use these things that on paper sound really good.
Well, it's confusing language too, and they flower it up or make it really long and boring and hard to understand. And they another one is, you know, the example that I just gave, the UN Convention on Biological Diversity. That's a treaty. They didn't call it a treaty, you know, because people know what a treaty is. So they're, you know, they use confusing language.
Mean by biodiversity is every species but us.
Well, biodiversity, when you hear that term, be thinking of Endangered Species Act, and all of the rules and regulations that go along with it. And it's the Endangered Species Act in particular is or targets private property.
Right, and that's what we really I alluded to this a little bit earlier, Cassandra, about how they're really trying to separate the right of property ownership from the people, which is the very essence of liberty, is the right to property.
Oh, yes, you must. It sounds like you have been reading.
No, I've been reading.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
So when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and The Revolution Continues, me, Jet Lacy, we're going to keep talking with Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com, MorphCity.com. And we're going to jump back into this. We'd love to hear from you. 866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. We will be right back in just a minute. Hold on.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. There's Hancock. The Revolution Continues. Me, Jet Lacy. We are we have Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com on the line with us. And I had you on a couple of times in the morning show, and I sort of got ahead of myself, jumped the gun a little bit. So I didn't mean to be rude, but could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became aware of these types of issues? Kind of introduce yourself to the audience out there.
Oh, sure. About a year ago, I heard about the signs on I-5. I'm in California, and so Interstate 5 runs up and down the state. And in central northern California, they turn the water off to the farmers. And so I started researching that and came up with some really disturbing information. It's the federal pump that they closed down. And they cut it down to a trickle, and the reason being to the farms, and the reason being is they said that the pumps were killing the fish. Too many fish were getting caught in the pumps. And I looked into it, and here's some interesting factoids that I found out, is that it was commonly thought, or most people think, that about 80% of California's water goes to agriculture and 10% goes to urban areas. Well, it's just not true. The real breakdown is 11% goes to urban areas, 41% of California's water goes to farming irrigation, and 48% goes to environmental issues.
Wow.
And that's regulated by the feds through the Endangered Species Act. Ta-da! So you see how detrimental it can be. It actually has put America's food supply in jeopardy because California's Central Valley provides 50% of America's produce. That means fruit, nuts, and vegetables.
Where is I don't know where Central Valley is, but I tell you, right down by Yuma on the Arizona border with California, down by, on the way to San Diego, man, because of the water from the Colorado River, boy, there is a lot of, it's like the breadbasket of America, it seems like. But where is the Central Valley?
It's Central California, and I think it was probably about 40 years ago they built an irrigation system that feeds, just massive farmlands, and they cut the water. And this year, here's an interesting development. Probably about 4 months ago or so, a scientist, Patricia Gliber, she did a study and found that the reason why the fish are dying, not because they're getting caught in the pumps, but because the ammonium levels are so high. Well, why is that? Well, cities like Sacramento and there's 12 or 13 other ones, they're flushing partially treated sewage into the delta. So with the high ammonium levels, that's why the fish are dying. But that got sort of covered up. That didn't make huge headlines across the United States like it should have, because this is a national problem. What with California providing 50% of America's produce?
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And so she got kind of shut down, and it's still in flux, and the Department of Interior, Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, are, you know, all have their hands in it.
It's just one of those things that they're absolutely trying to shut down the industry. They're trying to deindustrialize our country because we've been too prosperous. And they want to turn us into the third world just like everywhere else, because then we don't have the resources at our disposal to fight for ourselves.
Right. And it's also a depopulation program. You know, think about it. If you don't have food and water, what happens, right?
Right.
And I did a little research today, if I could share that with you, if you
sure.
have a minute, if we have a few minutes.
Yeah, 2 hours, dear. You go, okay. You go off and do whatever you talk about whatever you'd like to.
Well, just a few facts about depopulation. Now, the United Nations, their own documents, you know, they're always whining and crying about overpopulation and, you know, just outrageous projections and estimates. Well, on one of their more reliable estimates, they have the population, it will top out at 9 billion in 2050. And according to, and that's on my website so people can look up the actual document. And then there's a table that I was looking at, and the reason why it will top out and plateau is because fertility rates are going down. The reason why fertility rates are going down is because of nations are becoming more prosperous. There's more availability of food and water and health care. And I'm not talking about Obamacare
right.
and vaccines and that kind of stuff. But anyhow, with longer lifespans, people don't need to have 8 or 10 children because, the way that I'm in my 40s. So when I was young, you know, in places like India, they would have 8, 10, 12 children because most of them would die. Well, that's not happening anymore, and so they
right.
don't want so many children.
That was Social Security.
Right, yeah.
You know, for your elderly years, the more kids you had, the more prosperous you were because there was more people to take care of you when you got old.
And the farming, yeah, because right. there's a lot of independent farms there. So here's something that's interesting is the replacement fertility rate, you know, to keep the population stable is 2.1 children per woman. And there's another document that I've linked to my website that says the the aggregate fertility rate has dropped in the last 5 years from 2.65 children per woman to 2.55 children, and that's just in the last 5 years, and it keeps going down. And so, you know, all of these outrageous claims of overpopulation—it's alarmism. And it's,
well, either
and it's
that
funny.
Or their programs that they already have in place are working. Like with the vaccination programs, and, you know, I mean, I'm holding an article in front of me from August 27th on InfoWars about global distribution of Rockefeller-funded anti-fertility vaccine coordinated by the World Health Organization, which is another arm of the UN.
Right. It's all these UN agencies, and let's not forget the non-governmental organizations, and many of them are accredited through the UN. And, you know, their job is to promote this propaganda that the population is this enormous problem. And you hit it before. Poverty and enslavement are a result of not having private property, because then, you know, it's feudalism. If the person does not own their own private property, you know, and they can farm on it or do whatever they want with it, then they're working for somebody else. See,
or they don't control
really
the property that they say they own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, we have to pay property taxes on our land that we own.
Yeah, you stop paying your taxes, we'll see how long you own it.
That's right. It's really this problem that we're talking about goes so very deep. And, you know, I've really been trying, you know, when I'm doing these shows to go more on a positive bent. But I really believe that we need to make people aware of these really serious issues, because you can counteract these, you know, on a day-to-day basis, because they're so local, you can counteract them at a local level on a day-to-day basis within your own life.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring up the population figures, because it's not an emergency. You know, it's another big scam, just like global warming. And global warming was invented to, you know, for depopulation purposes.
Right.
And control.
And that's why you have the Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, funding all these vaccines, because they're creating and they have anti-fertility agents in the vaccines. So when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the Revolution Continues, me, Jet Lacy, we're going to jump back into it with Cassandra Anderson of Morph City, MORPHCity.com. And I would love to hear from you, 800-866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. We'll catch you on the flip side. Be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Back on Liberty News Radio, filling in for Ernest on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy, and be on the lookout for The Revolution Continues with Jet Lacy, because, you know, what, like the pastor Chuck Baldwin said in an article a couple of weeks ago, we don't need a movement. He was talking about the Tea Party movement. We need a revolution. And again, a revolution is not about a violent uprising. A revolution is a separation of the people's hearts and mind from the powers that be. The war part of it, the fighting part of it, is only a side effect of the people withdrawing their care and support from the government. You know, and stuff like this is what will end up doing it, but we need to get the word out. And that's why I have Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com on. And I just want to pose one question to the listeners out there before we get cracking again. You know, I want you to think about what we're talking about. And why are they pushing the flu vaccines year-round? Okay, you go to Walgreens Pharmacy here in Phoenix, Arizona, and you can get a flu shot now. There is no flu in Phoenix, Arizona right now, period. And then I even saw something, the CVS pharmacy. I showed it to my wife. We had a laugh about it. That if you buy $30 worth of Procter & Gamble products at CVS pharmacy, you get yourself a free flu shot. And that's just sick. You know, and we just have to understand that this stuff is being done. The vaccines are not there to protect you from the flu. They're to inject other things into your system that are going to shorten, as well as, you know, make your life less fertile. Would you not agree, Cassandra?
Yeah, sterilization is absolutely on the docket, and you know, it's you know, mercury and the other adjutants in the flu vaccines, that's not healthy.
No, what it does is the adjuvants. You know, I'm a former nurse before I got in trouble with a little marijuana. I never smoked at work or never stole drugs from anybody, but you know, I got caught with marijuana, and I'm not allowed to be a nurse anymore. But I was an ICU nurse for a very long time, and so I understand how the vaccines work. And the adjuvants hyperactivate your immune system. It creates your immune system to be working in hyperdrive. So that creates all kinds of nasty stuff like arthritis and lupus and Guillain-Barré syndrome and all these different things that happen when your immune system goes into warp drive. And so that actually, you know, shortens your life, because it's just like the axiom that stress kills. It actually puts your body in an extended, state of stress. So how did you feel? I think we have a caller. We have a Dave Spalvinel. And I was wondering, are you there with me, Dave?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show. I was surprised to see that I had a caller. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, thanks for inviting me into the conversation. Yeah, great conversation going on. And, Cassandra, you have a wealth of information. But what I wanted to bring up to the two of you is something that I haven't heard you mention yet, is that there is a literally a global leader of this depopulation and environmental effort that has been in the shadows for many, many years. And there's a ebook that's posted on my website for anyone that would care to look at it. But anyway, this particular man's name is Charles Windzor, and he has started several green groups. And if you wanted me to name a few for anyone that would care to word search for them,
sure.
I would. All right. One of them is the Prince's Charities, Prince's Trust.
Oh, yeah, that's all the King of England and all that stuff, yeah.
His name is Charles Windzor, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, we're talking about Charles, yeah.
Yeah, and here's I'm just getting started. There are about a dozen of these. Anyway, International Business Leaders Forum, International Investors Group on Climate Change, World Business Council for Sustainable Development, International Investors Group on Climate Change, Prince of Wales Corporate Leaders Group on Climate Change, the Prince of Wales Business and the Environment Program, the Copenhagen Communique, May Day Network, Business in the Community, and the Prince's Rainforest Project. Now, this isn't comprehensive, but that's the several of them.
You are so right, Dave. How do you feel about that?
Well, Joan Vion has written a book about Prince Charles and sustainable development. I can't think of what the name of it is, but you could just Google that. And thanks for throwing out the name, what was it, Charles...
Windzor.
Charles Windzor. What was the name of it? Oh, so you're talking about Prince Charles being behind all of this. Joan Vion has covered that pretty extensively.
Yeah, I mean, Prince Edward, who is actually the husband of Queen Elizabeth, once said
That's
that
Prince
he...
Philip.
Prince Philip, I'm sorry, Prince Philip, he said that he wanted to come back as a deadly virus to decrease population.
Yeah, this is certainly the nexus of this entire effort, and literally everything that is happening in terms of this radical environmentalism, the nerve center of it is in the person of Charles Windzor and at the City of London Corporation. And the author of this particular book that's titled Antichrist and the Green Prince, that can be word searched and located, the author of this book acknowledges Joan Vion as one of the people that was one of the first to alert him in order to get him to where he began researching and so forth. So, Cassandra, you're absolutely correct in her great work there. And this is a 2009 copyright on this book. So I'm going to get this in print and move it forward to the best of my ability. So, but I just wanted to call in because a lot of people talk about the problems that are created within our federal government and within local councils and everywhere, but this is where the initiative originates, and this is the one, incidentally, these people are the ones that profit the most, and it's all criminal activity. It's all in the shadows, in the occult. So it's just coming out into the open, basically, now. This man started this 40 years ago.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
yeah, thanks
Dave.
A lot for calling.
What's the name of your website?
My website is www.christianlibertypublishing.com. And then when the window opens, then to click on the button, the Global Green Man would bring up this particular book.
Well, I'm going to look into that. Thank you so much for the call, Dave. I appreciate it.
Well, God bless you, people.
God bless you, brother. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you did a good job of covering it. And I had read the book by Joan Vion, and, you know, she's just done such tremendous work in the field of Agenda 21. So a big thank you to her. In fact, I've got a video of her up on my website about public-private partnerships if anybody wants to find out about that.
Yeah, I have really found your website to be a wealth of information. And you know, as many people as that can get this information out, it's so important because it is personal. You know, just from the plastic bottles that they use for water have, estrogen-mimicking agents in it. And they can use cheaper versions of plastics that don't have that, but almost every can has a lining in it. Almost every water bottle that you drink out of has BPA, bisphenol A. And so this attack on our very fertility and our ability to reproduce ourselves is so deep and it's so wide-ranging. If we don't wake up to it, you know, there's going to be a lot less of us. That's why, according to them, their population, that's my feeling of it anyway, that I would say that they think that their agenda is working.
Well, I think that fertility has not decreased substantially as a result of all the poisons and toxins. I think that the reason why it has, you know, because if you look at the countries where it's really fallen off, they're developed industrialized countries, and again, it goes back to having a higher standard of living, more availability of food and water. But that doesn't mean that you know, they're such control freaks that they're doing all these things to poison us and sterilize us and all this creepy stuff.
It's creepy. When we come back, we'll jump back into it with Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com. We're going to keep talking about this. We've got a great caller already, Dave. Would love to hear from you. 800-866-9867-866-986-NEWS.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Even though Ernest has taken the day off to go see the Pat Tillman story, this show must go on, and I'm so thankful that I got the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you guys here on this Friday afternoon on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues, and me, Jet Lacy. We're talking with Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com, and we're talking about how, you know, this Agenda 21 is basically rooted in depopulation. And a lot of people believe a lot of different reasons why, you know, despite what their reasons are. But my belief is that they just can't control this many of us, and they don't need this many of us. They have enough, technology to get all of the things done that they want to get done, to have maybe 500 million to a billion slaves living in tightly controlled cities, along tightly controlled corridors of transit, and then the rest of the world is left, I guess you would call, pristine. That's why they were talking about bulldozing large sections of Detroit. They're just letting some of these cities go. And so we have to understand that, you know, this is the plan that they're having. And the fact is that they think on a much longer timeline than we do. You know, things don't have to happen in just a single generation or in a few years. They're looking, you know, literally hundreds of years into the future. And can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, excuse me. That's absolutely correct. They take the long view. And, you know, all of these plans, you know, as I mentioned before, Agenda 21, it's nothing new, but it just got very organized and woven together and turned into an action plan and implemented. And so, Yeah, it's the long view. And just to give people a little background on Agenda 21, the three major areas that they're targeting are economics. Well, let's take a look at the central banks. Who owns those? Who started those? Well, they don't own them. It's a cartel. The central banks, it's Rothschilds and Rockefeller agents were the ones that created the Federal Reserve.
Absolutely.
And let's see, where do we see that name again with regard to depopulation? Oh, that's right, Rockefeller.
Yeah,
you know, with
I mean,
the eugenics program. So anyway, it's called the Agenda 21, the three E's. So it's economics, education. So what they've been doing is, you know, for the last number of decades, changing America's education system.
Right, that's what I was talking about earlier. There's a whole school at ASU called North American Center for Transborder Studies, and every year there's between Canada, Mexico, and the United States, they have a mock North American Union legislature with mock lobbyists and mock journalists.
And it's that sounds coming. About right with the mock journalist.
Yeah, it's coming to Tempe, the ASU, in next year. So I was actually, this is the first time I had actually brought it up. And I was telling the audience before, in the hour before you came on, that it was because of having you on the other show that I actually stumbled onto this. And it's very, oh my God, it's just so heavy duty. And, you know, I said, we're going to go out there and shine a little sunshine onto this mock North American Union legislature that's going to be going on here in Phoenix.
You know what? That's so great, Jet, because you know how you get rid of darkness? Darkness cannot survive in the light.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. Go out and expose it. And they're doing this with young kids that are in college, you know, and they've been brought up in, most of them, in the public school system. You know, they've changed the textbooks. They don't teach these kids that we live, or that, you know, that America was designed as a republic. They're calling it a democracy. And what's the reason behind that? Well, a republic protects individual rights. A democracy is majority rule, which means that the majority owns the minority. Right. And so that's why you hear unlikely people talking about a democracy, like the Bushes, for example. You know, you don't associate them with Democrats, right? But that's what the game plan is, to brainwash us into thinking we live in a democracy and accept the democracy, when really this nation was built as a republic to protect
individual
rights.
A democratic republic.
Right.
And the rights of the individual. And that's what Ernest talks about all the time, is I just want the right to opt out. And if you grant me that, y'all can do whatever you want. I don't care what you guys want to do, as long as I have the right to opt out of whatever it is you guys are trying to accomplish.
Right. You know, personal sovereignty.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the founding fathers and Frederick Bastiat and a lot of, you know, people from the Age of Enlightenment said that democracy is the most vile form of government because it's two wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for dinner.
Exactly. You know, and you know, it's another succinct saying that I just brought up was that, you know, the majority owns the minority.
Right.
You know, so if that appeals to you, it doesn't to me. You know, that's what a democracy is.
Yeah, almost 50% of the people voted against Obama. And that's what we got. And because you know, we could go into a lot deeper subjects with that, but we basically are evolving, or rather devolving, into a democracy, which is right in line with the rest of the civilized world. You know, the European Union is failing miserably, but yet they're still going ahead with trying to make it here.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, they just don't quit. And then when one thing doesn't work, you know, like we discussed earlier, where that UN Convention on Biodiversity, that didn't work. So they went into the local cities and implemented ICLEI, International Council on Local Environmental Issues. You know, so when one thing doesn't work, boom, they got another one right there. And here's something that might interest you, Jet, is that in the States, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's three areas in the United States where states have formed alliances to combat global warming. And this is all the governors. The governors are in charge of this. And in fact, Arizona opted out because California in 2006 voted in cap and trade, and it's ready for implementation, but people are just, you know, kicking up a fuss about it, so it's going to be on the ballot in November. Not to repeal the whole thing, but just to suspend it until unemployment reaches 5.5%, which will be quite some time from now.
Yeah, like never, yeah.
Right. But anyway, you know, people don't even know about this, but governors are selling us out. And in the Northeast, in mid-Atlantic states, there's seven states that have banded together to form RGGI, which is Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. And what that is, and check this out, they've already held, since I think 2008, a number of carbon auctions, because they're going to, you know, they say it's voluntary, but then they make it mandatory because they're passing these laws, and these energy producers, like coal plants, will have to limit their carbon emissions or, you know, do cap and trade. So they've already raised, since 2008, over $700 million, and it's so much of the emperor is wearing no clothes. You know, because,
right.
First of all, carbon is not a pollutant. It's not dangerous. If we had more of it, we could grow more plants and food. And, you know, it's just the science has been so obscured.
Right. And, you know, people don't understand this, but, you know, carbon is what creates life. If there's no carbon, there's no life. We're all carbon-based life forms.
Yeah, carbon is the main building block of life. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so what we have now, and a lot of people don't understand that at our warmest periods was the periods of time, you know, and throughout history that we were the most productive. When, like the Renaissance was a very, very warm period in the world. And we have these cyclical events of warming and cooling of the earth that has to do with the rotational spin and the tilt and the on the axis. And this
solar,
is just
solar cycles and
right.
Solar flares, yeah, all of that. Yeah.
We are not responsible. The science is bunk. This is all brought about to create the world in which they control everything.
Yeah, it's just control. In fact, Dr. Michael Kaufman has a great video called Global Warming or Global Feudalism, I think. No, it's Global Warming or Global Governance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, yeah, I've watched some of that.
Yeah, and he comes out and says that most carbon, and, you know, you're not going to find this in the UN documents, but most carbon dioxide is produced from water vapor,
right?
And
yeah.
Only, do you know what percentage is produced by people?
0.1% last I heard.
Yeah, it was. I think it was maybe 3% of 1%, something like that. Yeah, something really crazy. It was a fraction of 1%.
But, well, we got, there's a news break, Cassandra, so we don't come on till the 6 after, so go get yourself a drink and get a little relaxation. We got one more hour with Cassandra Anderson on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy, and I still want to know what that third E is because I cut her off. When we come back, we'll talk about it on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. Love to hear from you, 866-986-6397. Come on, I know you're out there. I know there's more Daves out there that got their 2 cents they'd like to put in. So love to hear from you. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.